Full disclosure, we are not in a professional studio, and our sound people and AV people are not professional, so we are doing our best with the technology, and we're learning as we go. Yeah, so here we are. I think 2 weeks ago when I gave the Dharma talk, I think there might have been 7 or 8 people in the hall. I think the recommendations were different then, how quickly things have changed. And yet, this morning, I woke up as usual around 5:30, went to the bathroom, went in the kitchen, made some tea, drank some tea, sat down and meditated for a while. Around 7, as the birds were singing, went for a nice walk, came back, showered, shaved, then made some breakfast. Came here, washed my hands, and here we are. Now, each of us, each of you who are listening, you did the same. You may be different. Obviously, you live a different life. You're a different situation in life, age in life. Some of you might not have had it as easy as I had it this morning. Things to deal with, things to do. I'm in good health. Some of you, a few, may not be in good health. Have various kinds of conditions, acute or chronic. And yet, in truth, today was really like any other day. We just have lived our life since we woke up this morning. And hopefully, whatever we've done, wherever we are, we have lived our life supported by the practice of mindfulness, by the practice of presence, by the practice of noticing the good and wholesome things that are in our life, within us and around us. If you have done that, then sitting here right now listening, your mind will be at ease. Your mind will be calm. That is true for all of us right now. Now, if you turn on your computer and you go to news sites, you will be experiencing something very different. It's not the reality of your real life experience. It is the reality of the endless information of what's going on in the world, filtered, presented by a very few people who are writing things to capture our attention. Big headlines, very dramatic. And oftentimes the message is, be afraid. Dangerous time. It's very interesting when I do that, as I do. I don't read too far down anymore. I just read the headlines just to keep abreast of things. But I realize there's really very little I need to know. Already we know, about the shutdowns in life and how to be prudent and careful in one's actions. In one's interactions. They're fairly simple, and they are supported by our mindfulness practice to remember. So obviously at a time like that, like this, to be prudent and to be aware is good for our own benefit and for the benefit of others. But we have to be very careful about this overload of information. This overload of endless messages that are really just What are they doing? Please ask yourself. Especially those of you who are really, doing a lot of this reading. What is it really doing for your mind? How much do you really need to know that, we're in a viral epidemic? The world has had many, 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 many of these kinds of epidemics historically, including quite recently. Actually, every year we have a flu season. I believe in America every year, 30 million people die from flu. Hundreds of thousands are hospitalized. Millions have symptoms. Obviously, there's a greater significance to this one. But, in the course of the unfolding of human experience, while the context may be a little different now, the speed may be a little different now, this is nothing brand new. I've often said over the years that Buddhism, or a spiritual path, gives us a big view about what's going on in life, with our own life and the life of the world. So the unfolding of experiences, historical experiences, personal experience, have a context so we can make sense of what's unfolding. If we don't have a bigger view, if we don't have a bigger context to the unfolding of life, then we will be adrift and only reacting from crisis to crisis. And when we react from crisis to crisis, we will, we will experience emotions, anxieties, worries, fears, angers, despairs. So now more than ever, we need the inner practice like we did earlier today, so we know how to stabilize and ground ourselves. We know how to nurture ourselves. Even in the midst of instability, we know how to nurture ourselves. But also more than ever, we need the big view. Do not count on your meditation to stabilize and calm you alone. If we are endlessly ministering to the symptoms of our disease and never look deeply into the cause of our disease, we will always be sick. This is very important. This goes back to the Buddha, who looked deeply into life, below what appeared, below the surface, to see deeply. Because when you uproot the causes, when you cut out the root, then there's no longer a problem with the noxious weed or tree or whatever it was. In the same way, if you could imagine you had some kind of skin condition, and almost every day there'd be some little eruption on your skin, and every day you found some cream or ointment, and every day you just ministered to it. And this goes on for years. And we never thought to go to a doctor to find out, is there a cause of this? And if I can find out what's causing these eruptions on my skin, I don't have to minister forever, one after another. If I can take care of the cause, then I'm free from the symptoms. So it is good that we know how to take care of ourselves, we know how to calm ourselves, we know how to stabilize ourselves, but so much better to uproot the cause of that which is agitating me, that which is causing me always to worry, to be afraid. This is very important. So in Buddhism, we say, I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. The Buddha said, before he died, to his disciples, when they were very sad that the Buddha was going to leave them. He was dying. He was passing. And he says, he actually sort of castigated a few of them. It's like, you know, what have I been teaching you all these years? You know, the human body is impermanent. It is subject to sickness, old age, and death. So is the Buddha's body, his physical body. He said, but I have left you the Dharma. This is what he said. This is most important. I have left you the Dharma. I've left you the way to see clearly what is going on in life so you can deal with impermanence and change and all that with a calm and open and spacious mind. So you never have to be afraid. You never have to experience great loss, despair. Because intrinsically, there never was any coming or going. At the deepest level, there is no birth and death, even though it appears that way. In our chanting book, in our community, we chant, we recite, and many people as part of their daily practice. It's an ancient tradition within Buddhism, the five remembrances. I would imagine that pretty much most of the people on this online meditation this morning are familiar with the five remembrances. There are five of them. I'm of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. The next one is very important. I'm of the nature to become sick, to be ill, to have disease, to catch the flu. That is the nature of the body. The body is a physical organism. It is a part of a vast universe. Of the physical universe, inside and outside, which involves bacteria and viruses and immune, you know, so many different things. We've always been part of that. We are not separate little islands. Our bodies are not separate little islands. Our bodies are interconnecting with everything. It interconnects with things that are good and wholesome for it, and it intersects with things that they can do it harm. That is the nature of having a body. That is the nature of having a physical existence. And the Buddha teaches us that. I am of the nature to become sick. There is no way to escape sickness. And we'll talk a little more about that, because that's what's going on right now. And the next one's even bigger. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. We all are going to die. Everyone we know is going to die. Everyone who's come before us has died. Right? I saw, you know, in the news, they're beginning to say, this well-known person died. You know, everybody else is just a number, you know, it's like 300 and something or 408, but then they pick out a few well-known people, like, they've died. Oh, everybody dies. Everybody gets sick. Is that clear? All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. So when we say everyone we love, we get that. that they will either leave us or we will leave them at some point. All that is dear to me. What is dearest to me? My body. That is the thing that I most identify with and I lavish most intention on. Oh, all that is dear to me, it is of the nature to change. And there is no way that I can escape that. Somebody said to me recently, you know, people are so funny. The fact that right from the beginning, several weeks ago, I felt that, you know, that we needed to do not the Sunday thing, but, you know, we're doing the daily morning and evening meditation live stream. And hopefully many people are finding that very beneficial in many ways. Many people going like, ooh, taking a risk, risky, risky. No, of course, I don't feel I'm taking a risk. This is, it's a big place, and we're all very careful about washing our hands, and we all stay 10 feet, 20 feet away from each other, and, you know. But when they said that to me, I thought, no, this is nothing new. Like, somehow this pandemic has all of a sudden awoken me to the fact that life is risky. I mean, I found myself saying to them quite naturally, ever since I entered Buddhism 50 years ago, I've always lived knowing that life is risky, that I'm always in danger of sickness, old age, and death. That is just the nature of life. As I said earlier, you know, this world is full of instability and danger, isn't it? I mean, as I quoted earlier, I mean, you know, flus come every year, and many people get hospitalized even more. And many people who don't get die or get hospitalized, many, many more have symptoms, get sick, just like this. Many things in this world, many diseases in this world that people get sick from all over the world. Every day, every year, as well as there's all the other things that people die from, get sick from, contaminated water, polluted air. Millions of children die every year from hunger, no food. Millions. But, you know, we don't get the headlines every day. 20 million children dying this year from hunger. No, that's not a headline. You know, I'm just making this up. Millions and millions of me, you know, hundreds of millions of people getting sick every day from contaminated water. That's not a headline, is it? No. It's very interesting, this world we live in. And, you know, we want to look, our practice is mindfulness, concentration, and looking deeply, looking under the surface. Why is this, which is temporary? I mean, we know that this pandemic will run its course. At least we're being told that. But there are many other very significant sufferings that human beings suffer, and I could go on listing them forever, that no one pays attention to. I personally find it fascinating, if not somewhat tragic, that in the face of what we're now calling climate change, which really has to do with the, some people think the extinction of life on Earth, but definitely a vast restructuring of life on Earth, causing endless suffering to all kinds of beings, does not make the headlines. And the response of governments to this very clear, I mean, 100% scientific evidence of what's going on is, you know, oh, no. It's too expensive to change our economy. It's too difficult to change people's behavior. And yet, if we are aware, in the last 2 weeks, we have significantly changed our behavior, our way of living, you know, for most people, overnight. And we've done it. And if I, you know, can believe it, you know, our leaders have just found, what, trillions of dollars to deal with this pandemic and its effects, but cannot find a penny to deal with ongoing, very significant social and climate issues of our Earth. I mean, this should, just should, you know, what is, what, you Thich Nhat Hanh said, he said something a number of years ago I found quite moving in relationship to the climate crisis and people's indifference to the suffering of the world. He said, if human beings are not able to be attentive to and mindful of their own personal suffering and are not willing to really do something fundamentally about their own personal suffering, how can we expect them to be kind of somehow aware of the suffering of the world, the suffering of everyone, and see the long-term consequences? I am of the nature to become sick. There is no way to escape sickness, my friends. We are all of the nature to die. There's no way to escape death. You know, why is this reaction so powerful, and why can we restructure so quickly life? Because you know why? Because we are scared of getting sick. And we are terrified of dying. And our fear has mobilized us. Very quickly. It's quite amazing how quickly. Things that could never be done. Resources that could never be found. Changes in lifestyle that could never happen in relation to all these other issues. All of a sudden happens. And you know what? Look how easy it is. Because of fear. Because of anger. Because we want surety. We don't want these things to be happening. We think we can control it. We need to, you know, meditate deeply. It doesn't mean that in the face of an epidemic or a virus, we're not, again, prudent. We don't do what needs to be done to protect ourselves and our families and our children. But we understand, you know, this is the nature of life. There's no way to escape it. You know, this year it's this one, next year it'll be that one. You know, it's always been that way. It always will be that way. It may be even more so. The world is much more interactive, the world is much closer, people and animals are much, you know, interactive these days, closer. Yeah, we're passing things around, we travel a lot, we pass things around very quickly. This is the nature of the world we've created. We live close together. We live on top of each other in many areas of this country, in this world. Wonderful, wonderful breeding grounds. This is the nature of things. And let's just take a breath. So, you know, change is occurring very rapidly. There are difficulties. There is suffering. We know that for many people, physical suffering of illness, economic suffering that seems to be unfolding. We'll see what happens for people. Our bodies are being contained. We cannot move around the way we are used to. And for many of us, this sequestering, or whatever it's called, shutdown, self-quarantine, physical distancing, has really allowed for I think many people the opportunity to be on semi-retreat. We have more time. Things are quieting down. There's less moving about. People are home more. People are with each other more. Crisis or opportunity? So in the same way in this crisis, there is opportunity for the world to look deeply at how it operates and how it runs itself, to look deeply and to see the possibility, how easily we can change and transform things when we want to. But again, as I said, I think this crisis is unfolding, you know, there's so much activity and response because of fear or political reasons or whatever. But each of us are the same. We all have gone through our crises in life, situations in life, which have been difficult, and yet out of that oftentimes came a change. Many of us are here today listening to this talk because of that. Where a crisis, change, loss, instability, suffering, rather than just causing an emotional reactivity or acting out, causes us to stop, caused us to stop and look deeply into our lives. And what we do with our life, and how we lived our life, how we live our life, and how we spend time in our life, and what we value in our life, and how we relate to people in our life. The world has an opportunity, countries have an opportunity, and we as individuals, most importantly, because we can't control the world, we can't control Florida or Tampa, or, you know, we can affect maybe, but we have the ability to take charge of our own actions of body, speech, and mind. No one can take that away from us. That is the fifth remembrance. I inherit the results of my actions of body, speech, and mind. My actions are the ground on which I stand. Please reflect on that a moment. I inherit the results of the actions of my body, speech, and mind. My actions are the ground on which I stand. Over this past several weeks, all of us have, you know, endlessly participated in creating actions of body, speech, and mind, and that is totally affecting and conditioning how we are right now. And how we are right now will condition the actions of our body, speech, and mind going forward. Every moment has the potential for transformation. Most of us are responding to this situation in character. For those of us who have always lived somewhat in anxiety and fear and worry, that is now exacerbated. Those of us who've lived in sort of sadness and despair and all that, that's now exacerbated. Those of us who've lived always in frustration and anger, that's exacerbated. We are all responding to the situation based on the conditions of our own mind. Great opportunity. Because usually in a crisis situation, aversive situation, you know, stuff is more intense, more acute. Good. Bigger target. Watch, how have you been doing? What have you been doing lately? Endlessly more information, more reading, more keeping yourself agitated, keeping your mind agitated, more thoughts, more information, more fear, more anxiety, more frustration with our leaders, more anger. Is that what we've been cultivating? Is that what the world needs? We say it over and over again, Thich Nhat Hanh said, you know, referring to the boat people when they left Vietnam and out there in the China Sea and, you know, rough, scary seas and pirates, and, you know, danger. He said, you know, when everybody's scared, when everybody's confused, if there is one person in the boat who stays calm, centered, grounded, clear, there is a way out for the other people. And that one person can be a help to the other. So this is a choice we all have. Do I want to be that person? Do I want to become that person? Who in the midst of this instability that the Buddha talked about, in the midst of this not knowing how things are going to be, but we know how things are going to be. Things are going to just be. Things are going to unfold according to causes and conditions. That's how things are going to be. There'll always be instability. There'll always be impermanence. There'll always be change. There'll always be unknowing how the future is going to be. And there'll always be sickness, old age, and death. We know that. You can bet on that. That's a surety. Knowing that, can we find the place within ourselves? Not just from our calming and stabilizing meditation, but even more importantly from the view, how we view life and ourselves and its unfolding in a way that's based in the truth of reality and can accept reality as it is, and in the midst of reality, live a life based on intelligence, wisdom, compassion, loving kindness, generosity, selflessness, etc., etc., etc. Here it is, right now, in the midst of this world crisis, national crisis, Florida crisis, personal crisis, all of us have an opportunity to stop, to pause, to step back, and look deeply. Look deeply into our own causes and conditions, look deeply into the causes and conditions of the world, and not continually be buttressed around by the waves of life. Again, you know, we talk about the nutriments, the four nutriments, maybe we'll talk about that again. We are what we consume. And in this case, you know, all the types of information we are consuming, all the messages we are consuming are conditioning our minds. And all the mind states that we're cultivating within, whatever they are, that is conditioning our mind. Please be careful over these coming days and weeks, and really for the rest of our life. This is a heightened moment, so we have maybe greater ability to attend to it. How am I nourishing my mind? Everybody rushed out, make sure they had enough food and toilet paper, you know. Taking care of our bodies. But, you know, isn't this an essential service? Isn't this the most essential service? Well, why don't I stop now? And if there's a way to take any questions or... So if anybody has a question, they can chat them. Look on your screen, there's a place for chat, and you can chat them in, and then Maria Teresa will share them with me.
Fred, can you hear me? Do you want me to read them? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mauricio had asked.
So the question is, how does one meditate on sickness? Which is really saying, how do we meditate on these five remembrances? So, these are analytical meditations. Okay. Analytical meditation doesn't mean we just kind of randomly think about. This is a whole body of meditation in Buddhism where we, using sort of the concentrated mind, we use this power of our mind for logic, for analysis, for clear thinking, to really investigate deeply a subject with the result that we really get it. We talk about realization, which means the truth of whatever it is becomes real to us. So, if I wanted to, you know, if somebody gave me a proposition such, I am of the nature to become sick, there's no way to escape sickness, is that true? I would reflect on that. Is that true for my own life? Have I ever been sick? Even if I didn't want to get sick. Even if I was very careful, is it true that this body of mine has, from childhood, been of the nature to be sick, to be ill? Okay, so that's one way. You know, I'd really reflect very concretely on my life. Then I'd think about my family members, my, you know, I'd keep going, you know, ad infinitum until I really get it, yes. People who have bodies are of the nature to be sick. Is that what's going on in the world? Do people in the world get sick? Mild colds and coughs to quite serious illnesses. You know, is this true? Is this true now? Is it true historically? You know, the Buddha said this 2,600 years ago. So this is how we meditate on it, not think about it. We really meditate on it. We use this great gift we have of rational, logical, analytical thinking to liberate ourselves from our false thinking, such as, I'm not of the nature to get sick. I shouldn't get sick. Why do people get sick? Now again, this is not, you know, people go, oh, but you know, shouldn't we be careful? Of course. I mean, this is common sense here, right? I mean, if I said to everybody listening to the call, do cars have the nature to have accidents? Well, not cars, the car drivers. Cars are also the victims. You know, does driving a car, is the nature of driving a car have the potential of being in an accident? And most people would say what? Everybody would say, yeah, from a little dent, a little fender bender, to a more serious accidents. Is it, you know, is there a good risk when we drive in a car for all of us? That we won't not just have a physical accident with our cars, but that we could get physical injury, right? A whiplash, you know, other kinds of things, even from a small. Is that true? Okay. Is it true that we could have an accident that has serious consequences? Is it true that even if we're a careful driver, that somebody else may hit us? Is it true that driving around, we are at risk for a serious accident, a life-altering accident, and death? Is that true? Is it true also that anybody in my car, I'm also putting at risk? Is that true? Now, we all know that's true. And yet we what? We drive cars. Again, if the headlines every day was, I don't know, 50,000 people injured this month, 25 people injured very seriously, 5,000 fatalities, if this was the headlines, maybe people would look at, whether we should all be driving cars. But in the meantime, we do. But yet we know that there is a risk. Because we have looked deeply into it. That what's happening, to me is happening everywhere. And again, we do it until there's realization, it becomes real. Any other questions? So the question is somebody talking about their parents and how fearful and kind of over the top their parents are because they're constantly reading the news. It's getting them very upset, very fearful. So that's what's going on. And then the person is asking, but then I get irritated. So there are two issues here. One is, can I help them? Well, I just tried to help everybody listening to the call. I would certainly talk, if you can, about these kinds of issues that we talked about today, so they understand the context in which this so-called pandemic, no, I don't mean so-called, that sounds dismissive. I mean, it's what it is, and how the bigger context of this stuff is going on all the time and will go on all the time, right? And the context of how they're just agitating themselves with fear, of which there's no discharge. I mean, in the face of this unknowing and this pandemic, there's enough information that we have, luckily, that gives us some prudence of how to act, of how to, to best of our possibility, keep ourselves and others safe. But the truth is, it's an unknowing. Nobody, unless they've been tested, and 99% of people have not been tested, we don't know right now whether we're positive or not, do we? We don't know. The same way we don't know right now whether we have cancer, whether we have tumors, whether we have diabetes too. I mean, there's all kinds. We're imminently about to have a heart attack. We don't know that. I mean, if we've had good workups, we may, have some inkling, but we don't know everything. I mean, this is the nature of this world. We don't know. And without a practice, without some kind of context, it's very easy to get afraid. Now, as for the side of, now for the person who's going, I'm irritated. Again, they can't help being who they are. They are the product of their causes and conditions. But again, you may want to minimize, your contact with them, or you may want to listen to them for a few minutes and say, this is not healthy. This is not healthy for you. This is not healthy for me. What are we cultivating here? Yes, I understand. I understand what's going on, where there's an epidemic, it's harming people, there's all kinds of social situations, shutdown. Our national leaders are making decisions. Some people think they're great, some people think they're terrible. I mean, same old, same old. But I wouldn't be irritated at them, because the irritation means I don't understand, I'm not willing to understand that they can't help being who they are. Again, in the face of people suffering, we should always do what we can to help, but also know there may be many people who cannot be helped. In that case, change the subject. I mean, because the more they go on with their fears and their angers and their agitation, that's only poison for their own minds. So we're not, by listening, we might say, I'm really practicing deep listening. It may be bad listening, because what we're nurturing is not something healthy. And we may want to change the subject. You know, have you been for a walk today? Have you seen a flower? Tell me about it. Any other questions? That's another Dharma talk. So somebody ask about death and reincarnation, and please tell that person I'm very happy to talk with them personally about it or to give another talk. But that's another, you know, I mean, at this point, you know, we want to learn how to deal with reality as it is and develop the mindset and the skills to be calm, clear, grounded, right now. You know, the Zen masters say, you know, if you want to know what's going to happen after death, the best preparation is to know what's happening right now. Because the now of this moment will be the same at death. And if you have the ability to be fully aware and present right now, you will have the ability to be fully aware and present at that experience that is called death, and then it'll all be revealed to you. So again, you know, if we're agitated at death, if we're scared at death, if we're angry at death, if we have regrets at death, you know, we will not have a good death. So the Zen masters advise us, put your attention into how you're living now. We are now creating the cause and conditions for our future. Is anything else, Maria? Question is, in what ways can we be helpful? I think I've talked about a number of them. Again, I think the first thing, be helpful to yourself. Make sure that you are cultivating calmness, stability, clarity in your mind. Make good use of this sequestered life, this calmed down life. Go on your own semi-retreat. Use this time to deepen your meditation or extend your meditation, extend your study, you know, of Dharma, and learn to look deeply. You know, don't get scared by this endless, you know, fear sells. We all know that. And the people out there know. Again, and then, you know, in relation to others, you know, love others, take care of others, be there for others in a calm, stable way. You know, don't support negativity. Don't support fear. Don't support agitation. Don't support anger. That's not helpful to people. They're very capable of doing that on their own. They don't need our help. Right? So be a voice of calmness and clarity and deep looking. You know, that's the best way we can help the world. And if we ever become president or you ever become a senator or congressman, we will have much more ability to affect this world. But in the meantime, you know, wherever our life is, that is the, in Buddhism we talk about, each of us has a field, like a farmer has a field. Each of us has a field to cultivate. Our field is our life and the people in our life. Please cultivate with care your field. So we'll end for now.